Afternoon, Sean. How are you today?
Not too bad, Peter. Thanks for having me on.
Sean, you're more than welcome. Welcome to the Business Spotlight. Thanks very much for sharing your time this afternoon. So could we start, Sean? Could you tell me a little about you, your background, and your business, please?
Yeah, well, I'm Sh Sean McCann. I come from a small village called Eglish, was based outside of Dungannon. Originally, I was born and bred in Dungannon, and I moved out to Eglish whenever I was about 24, 25, suppose. My
Just a
background.
couple of years ago then.
Well, you can. I know I look very young, but I'm actually 40, 43 coming now this September. So, yeah, a few years ago. All right. So it is actually nearly 20 years. Whenever I think about it, nearly out in English, but time flies. So a bit of background on myself. I went to Dungannon Academy. Done my GCSEs and A levels. Always wanted to go on and be a teacher. By the time I got to the end of my A levels, I kind of felt that college wasn't for myself, that I had done enough with the learning as such at that time. My mother had other thoughts, so she did. So she was hell bent that I was definitely going to college unless I'd find myself a decent prospect of a job. So very fortuitously, I bumped into a cousin of mine that was working for NIE Networks, and he had mentioned to me that there's apprenticeships coming up, and that I'd ever think about going into doing an apprenticeship. I got the paperwork gathered up, brought it back to me mother. She could see that there was good prospects with an apprenticeship, and by the end of the summer, she'd come around to the fact that maybe it was best to let me go and embark on an apprenticeship instead of going down the college route. As I'd probably been the eldest in the family, and she hadn't been to college herself. I think that it was maybe a dream of hers, more so than a dream of mine at the time. But yeah, look, I started with NIE Networks, 2000, done my apprenticeship. Seen the gold lights of going into working in England as such to go contracting. Was over there for a number of years, and was back in the south of Ireland. There was a big project, NRP it was called at the time, for refurbishment of overhead power lines. Got involved in it, and then there's a wee tiny bit of work back in Northern Ireland. I was working for a company called McAlpines, and I was made redundant basically off that job. There was work in England at that time. It was in around 2008, and there wasn't much work. If everybody remembers, it was the crash. So I took the job instead of being made redundant. I took the job over in England. It was in around that time, and I then embarked on my safety career. A role come up to be a safety auditor on site, because I'd done the overhead power lines and I was experienced in it. I felt that it was a nice position to try and get in on, and from that progressed from being safety auditor to safety advisor, safety manager, and then a regional safety manager with different businesses along the way. Done my NEBOSH certificate, MVQ level 5, and then progressed on to being chartered member of IOSH.
And how long have you been in business for in the current form?
So we're in business 10 years. So we are. So we're just coming up on 10 years. So April this year, we'll be 10 years in business.
And what was the spark, Sean? What tell me about the spark that led you to going out on your own rather than being an employee?
Well, come back to the guy was in has employed with some real good people, and some real good businesses. I was working for a company called E&S at the time, and they had been purchased by SPIE, and they'd been bought again, and then SPIE was purchased by Keltbury. And throughout that journey, I had progressed with my own development, but there was a mentor above me, a guy that I still keep in contact with, Billy George, and he was my direct line manager. He had been a director with E&S until they got purchased out, and then become a senior manager within the other two businesses. Billy wasn't going anywhere, and I'm only a few years younger than Billy, and I'd kind of come to a glass ceiling in what I was doing. I was working as a regional safety manager, working out of the same office, achieving the same KPIs, feeling that I was doing a good job, but felt my growth had kind of stalled with the business. I'd become chartered and everything else. I'd done all my exams that I could do, but I just felt that there was more in me, and that was that I wanted more responsibility for what I was doing, making more decisions, at a senior level. And unfortunately, the business couldn't offer me a position at that time to stay. And that was no slant on the business. Say that really good people in the business involved, as based on a project with a guy called Ian Thompson, broke my heart leaving the company, at the time. But I had to do it for my own personal growth. So I suppose that was the spark. I wanted to develop myself further, when I felt I couldn't do it with the business I was in.
And as we sit here today, tell me who your target market is. What sort of people or organizations really benefit from working with you?
So our business is broke out. We're a general health and safety business, but we've broke our business into four areas. So general safety consultancy, that there could be looking after the plumber, that needs maybe a risk assessment or RAMS, maybe a policy written up for him, to large scale organizations, like your Kelpries, and that we still do work in with them. That we could be putting a safety manager in to address the situation. Maybe somebody has left, so we jump in and help. Same in the south of Ireland. We do a lot of work with businesses such as Sisk. So another business partner, my Adrian May, he would look after that side of it, relationships. So if we'd be kind of the go-to people for them, again, we'd provide resources and assist them roll out their own safety on their sites. That's the consultancy side. But then we would have training. So we have a training department, and again, we'd align ourselves very closely with NPAWS. So the National Plant Scheme, with Solus in the south as well, where we deliver a large range of plant training, excavators, rollers, telehandlers, all of that good stuff. Then say we have another target market, which would be anybody that would be going for accreditations, so we have a business manager that look after that. So like your ISOs, your safety cert and Barrow cert, your Achilles, NERS, any of that there, that would be coming into us, but it's handed over to a manager in the business, and we'd have the expertise then to help these people through. And then the last area that we deal with is engineering inspections. So the likes of your rollers, or your GA inspections in your south, your pure pressure testing, all of that. And we would inspect anything from a sling or a chain right up to your escalators or your elevators that you'd see in a hospital or in a shopping mall. Plus all the plant that I've talked about, the excavators, rollers, dumpers, all of that area. So anybody, we've kind of sectioned the business out into four different areas with 56 staff in total, that covers this. So it's not Sean McCann, the jack of all trades. We've different people that look after the different sections.
What would you say has been the biggest surprise along your business journey?
Hey. I've probably had a lot of surprises throughout my journey. And look, most of them have been positive. I've had a few negative experiences, but I usually try and brush them under the carpet and move on pretty quickly. But say one that probably always jumps out, and I've told people this here plenty, is that whenever I first went out into business, I left maybe on a Wednesday or Thursday, I think was the way the month fell, and I was traveling home. And I remember being out in my house up in Aglish out the back, and I literally was kicking stones up the back, thinking to myself, what have I done? Right, come Monday, right, what am I doing? And I got a phone call. It was off a guy that used to be a subcontractor until ENS. And I actually hadn't spoke to him in years, because the last dealings I had with him was that one of his staff members had done something that wasn't particularly positive. And it didn't have a positive outcome. They were actually placed off the contract because of it. And he rang to say, Sean, I hear you went out on your own. I have some work for you. So I honestly thought he was taking the PISS out of me. Said to him, now, wise up. I says, the last time we had an interaction, it didn't end that great. But he says, you know what, Sean? He says, my business is growing. And he says, and I've grown since that there. And he says, and I know it'll be done right. And he says, and that's why I want you to come over. He says, look, I'll book you a flight. He says, so that I'm not taking the PISS out of you. He says, and can you come over to me in the next week or two?
John, you can say piss on this, it's all
There
right.
you go, take the piss out of me. But I thought he was taking the piss, but that was the biggest surprise to me was that people actually wanted me, to come and do work, and it gave me a lot of confidence straight off out of the box, if I'm going out on my own. And to say literally I was, and it's in my head kicking stones up the back thinking, what the hell have I done? So it gave me a lot of confidence moving on in the future years. So look, lots of other surprises along the way. Says not every day is rainbows and sunshine. There's plenty of dark days there too, but them's the kind of surprises that I like, and them's the ones that I try to remember.
Good man. And are there any business leaders that you look up to or have influenced you along the way?
Look, I would have, luckily enough, I'd have a few friends that are in business, and I definitely look up to them, and I try to do things that they might be doing, as in terms of positivity levels and trying to be as positive as possible at times.
Hmm.
Say I don't feel that naturally I'm the most positive person all the time. I have to sometimes work on that there to be as positive and give a positive outlook on it. So people like that there, I definitely look up to. But looking back on it, my mum, I was quite young. I was 24 when she passed away, but she had a business, and it wasn't a big business, but what she'd done was she was a seamstress and made curtains. Whenever I look back at her, and sometimes I do when I'm driving along, I'll be thinking, why did I actually have the courage to go out into business? And I look back and I think, well, she had three boys to look after. She got up every morning, she started this business, she employed herself and another woman. She probably, if she was still alive, she probably could have grew that even further, because she had lots of courage. She definitely had no bother in trying to grow. She wasn't afraid to bring on more work, and she'd done it with nothing. She'd done it with nothing. Started that business up with nothing. And I remember, there's found photographs there recently. Even I must have been about six or seven, and her up the back, she had a wee shed up, and she's doing her sewing up there, making curtains. And there's me, a photograph of me, her doing the reading, school books with me. So her trying to help me do the school work while run her business. So when I think back, it's people close at home, Joe's friends and family that and not really the Stephen Bartletts of the world. As much as they're brilliant, I've some really good people to look at very close to home.
Brilliant. And tell me what gets you out of bed in the morning and really drives your passion for your business, Sean.
I have a 2-year-old child. He gets me up every morning at 6 o'clock or 6:20. That's the alarm clock. So I've no choice. But the passion, the passion for me would be growing the business, developing and moving forward, and the employment of people. Like every business has staff turnover. Like whenever staff leave, it's not that I take it personally, but it'd be a disappointment, because I'd be going, look, there's one step back a wee tiny bit, that we had X number of people employed, and realistically, it's very hard to get people in. Staff retention, you have to work hard on it. So that be like a driver for me, making sure that that we have enough work for everybody, that we're out hunting and getting more work in through the door, keeping in contact with the clients that we have, to make sure that they're happy with the service that we're providing. So all of that, they're all mixed together. Plus then, if you break it back to the brass tacks of what I do, which is a health and safety professional, like I enjoy coming into businesses and making a difference for them, seeing that they're progressing. I've had businesses that have we've got them to a certain point, and they've turned around and said, "Oh, Sean, we won't need you anymore." The way that we're using you, say maybe that we're using consulting for maybe 2, 3 days a month. She says, "Oh, we're growing that much now. We're bringing on a safety person, but will you do us a favor? Will you stay on a wee bit and train that person in, so they can be like yourself?" And I love that, because I've gone, we put all the procedures in place. We've got that business to a point where they now feel confident that they're a good business, that they can work away on their own. And that's a measure of success for us. And that's not that I've lost a client, because they still do lowlers or training with us, but they're not just do that consultancy element, but that shows that we've been very successful for them.
And if you were cast away on a desert island, and you were allowed one book or one podcast or both, what would you be reading or listening to?
Say I'm not a big reader, to be honest. I like very factual things. You know, if I was to read, I'd be reading something that's factual and maybe interests me in health and safety as boring as that may sound. I'd maybe be reading up. If I was on holidays, I'd maybe something on my phone. I'd read it up because I'm going. I was thinking about that last week, but now's the time to think about it. But if I was told you can only pick one and all you can do, I've mentioned him there already, Stephen Bartlett, and on the Diary of CEO. I do a lot of driving, and I listen to a lot of his podcasts. Some of the stuff that interests me, I'd listen to him along the way. I find that he does a lot of good research and he asks a lot of good questions, and it provokes a bit of thought process in my own head for how I might deal with situations.
Very good, Sean. For one moment there, you had me scared. I thought we were heading towards you doing some sort of risk assessment on the desert island. So, but that's a big relief that we ended up with Stephen Bartlett there. So, and yeah, he crops up quite a bit in these interviews. So, look, so tell me, Sean, if it were possible, and you could go back in time and give some advice to your 18-year-old self, tell me what that advice would sound like.
Be a hard one maybe to answer. If I could go back, I maybe split this into two, and I know what the truthful answer is. Look, I'd love to go back and say, Sean, do you know what? Go and do a bit of traveling there. I didn't go and do the whole Australia buzz, and sometimes I look back on it and feel that, geez, I've loved to have done that. And I'm going, geez, whenever I retire, hopefully I'll be fit and able, and I'll maybe go and see a bit of Australia, New Zealand, places they got there. But I think if I went back in time, I'd actually just tell myself just to be easier on myself. Don't overthink some of the decisions that you're making in life. Things are going to turn out all right. Not every day is going to have a sunshine and a rainbow for you. But you'll still be alive. Get up and get at it, And I think that there'd probably be the only bit of advice, because I have a nice life. I've two kids there. I've a daughter. I've a wee son who's two. If I went and travelled Australia, I mightn't have them kids that I have now. I've business. I've three good business partners in the business. And I just mightn't have the life that I have, and I'm happy with the life that I have. So I don't think I'd want to change it too much, but. What do you call that lady that won the big lottery? Was it Dolores McNamara? I'd maybe see if I could get her lottery numbers, maybe, and play them. So if I'd slip them into my pocket, that might be the only thing I'd do.
Brilliant. And Sean, if somebody likes what they've heard and they'd like to reach out and get in touch with you or Dynamic Safety Solutions, tell me what would be the best way for them to go about that?
Yeah, well, look, they could Google us up, Dynamic Safety Solutions, or www. dsafeties.com, or alternatively they can email info@dsafeties.com, or just email me directly at sean@dsafeties.com. Say any questions or inquiries, you'd be more than welcome.
Fantastic. Well, Sean McCann from Dynamic Safety Solutions, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. Thanks very much for your time and sharing your story. And I wish you all the success for the rest of 2024 and beyond. Sean, thank you very much indeed.
No bother, Peter. Thanks very much.